Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. And we get our good martini, surprisingly, from PolitiFact today. That doesn't happen very often. But the head of PolitiFact stopped by to visit with Jake Tapper on The Lead on CNN yesterday and offered the top four political lies of 2013. Not surprisingly, numbers four through two were from Republicans, and it was made abundantly obvious that the number two supposed lie from Ted Cruz actually turned out to be exactly right. It was about the exemptions and special subsidies that members of Congress continue to get for their health care coverage. But number one was this.
Moving on to the most important, the lie of the year. Control room, I don't even know if we have this. Can we get a drum roll? Thank you very much. So here it is, by popular demand, the number one lie of the year, based on something the president first said in 2009 and then updated in 2013.
If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. What we said was you could keep it if it hasn't changed since the law's passed.
Jim, you know it's got to be a doozy if PolitiFact puts it at the top of the list, but it's hard to get more blatantly untruthful than that.
Yeah, and so I salute PolitiFact for acknowledging the obvious, because whatever your criteria is, you know, how false is it, how frequently and clearly it is stated, how loudly is proclaimed, how important is the person saying it, and perhaps most importantly, the consequences of the lie. And the consequences of this lie are huge. Millions of people are losing their insurance. And oh, by the way, next year when the employer mandate kicks in, it's quite possible that, you know, millions more will end up losing their insurance. So I salute PolitiFact for making this one. You notice that their numbers 2, 3, and 4 were all various Republicans, and, you know,
yes,
lots of folks on the right kind of rolled their eyes at that. Now, having said that, this is not, you know, in the past when President Obama said this, PolitiFact's rating for this was half true, which is bullpucky, and there are other words I could have used there, because something that is half true is also half false. And their attitude was like, well, some people aren't going to lose their plans. Well, no kidding. Thank you. All right. The argument from the right has never been, well, the passing of Obamacare will mean that everyone in the entire world loses their health. No. But, you know, when the president who's making this blanket statement applying to everyone that he must have known he could not have kept, or that he didn't, you know, he's just spectacularly ill-informed about the consequences of his own law. So a lot of folks on the right, including some folks at Washington Examiner and National Review, are pointing out, look, you know, it's nice of PolitiFact to acknowledge this now. At least three times in 2012, they bashed Republicans for accusing that Obamacare was going to cost people their health insurance. And their answer was always, well, maybe. Well, no, it's not a maybe. It is a yes. It is clear now. And so PolitiFact, you know, really needs to do a little bit of soul searching here, and whether they really are accurately assessing these things, if they really are checking the facts as they say, or whether they're allowing themselves to be spun by either what they want to be true or what the politicians they prefer, a.k.a. Democrats, want to be true. So it's good for PolitiFact, but the fact that they have recognized this now really tarnishes all the work that they have done in the past couple of years.
Jim, everything you said is true, and I've just received a bulletin that PolitiFact has rated that pants on fire.
Okay, gasoline undies over there.
All right, on to martini number two now, and this comes straight from the top item in today's Morning Jolt by Jim, and it comes from the latest changing of the rules on the fly from the Obama administration, and particularly Health and Human Services, the latest in the addition to the delays in the employer mandate and price caps and all these other things. The latest is that insurance companies now have to accept payments until December 31st for coverage starting the very next day. And if you've even just put down a down payment on that first month's premium, they've got to cover you starting January 1st. There's now an additional special enrollment period for people with chronic conditions, people who've had extensive problems with the website. So good luck trying to keep up with this, everybody.
Yeah, and what's kind of, you know, the message you get from a lot of, you know, columnists, generally those who are sympathetic to the administration, is your opening sentence will be, now that healthcare.gov is fixed, or now that Obamacare is running smoothly, or things like that, which is absolute total nonsense. And one of the signs that it's not running smoothly is that all of a sudden these deadlines, like every deadline is getting kicked back except the individual mandate, right? I mean, that's what we Republicans have been calling for a really long time. And oh, by the way, during the shutdown, that was the offer on the table, right? That we wanted a 1-year delay in the individual mandate and we'd reopen the government. Well, that's not going to be the case. But everything else has to be. And what they're suddenly recognizing is that, look, lots and lots of people basically are going to start January 1st without health insurance. And that's a really huge deal. What you've got here is a circumstance also that a certain number of these people are going to be walking around believing that they've got health insurance, either because they've signed up through the website, but they haven't paid, which is a fair, like, so one of the things that basically they're proposing yesterday, the administration is strongly encouraging, which, by the way, I don't know if there's like a, you know, Sibelius banging a lead pipe against the palm of her hand or something like that, or whether it's a, you know, nice health insurance company that you got there. Be ashamed if something happened to it type implied threat there. But basically they're saying, look, some people aren't going to be able to pay in time for a lot of reasons. High among them, health, you know, healthcare.gov is not working the way it's supposed to because you can't actually pay through healthcare.gov. And oh, by the way, you know, it takes time for people to, you know, get out their checkbooks, write the checks, pay the checks and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, when they're trying to be paying for holiday gifts and things like that. This is traditionally one of the most financial stressful months in American households. Normally, now they're expected to make one new payment. And of course, many people are seeing much higher premiums. So a lot of folks may have selected a plan, but they won't have paid for it. And then comes January 4th, God forbid they're in a car accident, or all of a sudden they got a winter flu or something like that. They go to the doctor, they go to the hospital, and they don't have health insurance. And this is the impending early year disaster that must be having, you know, people running around with their hair on fire over at HHS. By the way, hair on fire is not covered under Obamacare. So what they're now doing is say, okay, this deadline goes back. This deadline goes back. It's like Oprah awarding out, you know, you get a delayed deadline. You get a delayed deadline. You get a delayed deadline. And at some point, you're wondering, well, why are we not just delaying the individual mandate, which is what's driving all the pressure to get these things done by a particular deadline? They can't do that. This thing continues to be jury-rigged and tied together with spit and baling wire and not even any duct tape or anything like that. It is going to be bad. The only question is how bad, and kind of the theme of the jolt is this kind of incurable optimism amongst the administration, amongst its most of its congressional allies, this ludicrous Stan Greenberg poll, and lots of it is that this thing will take care of itself. It's going to be fine. It's going to work. These things always work out in the end, except that they don't. And they've never implemented something as big and complicated as this. And it's never affected this many people before. And, you know, just this morning, as I pointed out, they announced that if you applied by paper, because remember the website wasn't working correctly, they've still got a backlog of about 100,000 people. There are 50,000 to 60,000 people where it has not, the application isn't completed because it's not filled out correctly. Or there's not enough information there. They're trying to reach those people, but they're not succeeding. I love this sentence. The applications are supposed to be mailed notification letters, but none were mailed out until recently, and the vast majority still have not. Greg, the deadline to get insurance written in the law to get make sure that you're covered by January 1st is December 23rd. That is 10 days from now.
Right.
And there's this giant stack of mail somewhere in HHS that they're waiting to, you know, get out the door. So the train wreck continues. The boxcars full of explosives are starting to come upon us. It's going to get much, much worse. And, you know, the reason this is the bad martini is just the amazing fog of happy talk optimism that continues to envelop Washington as this problem gets worse and worse.
On to martini number three now. And this is the CNN version of this story that's become big headlines in the last 24 hours. As the shock sinks in of North Korea's extraordinary announcement of the execution of leader Kim Jong-un's uncle and former protector, government officials and analysts are trying to decipher what the brutal move means. Basically, he was declared by Kim and I guess some sort of military tribunal to be a traitor for the ages. And this is the guy who basically kind of greased the skids to make sure that there wouldn't be any problems for Kim Jong-un succeeding his father as the crazy dictator in North Korea. Jim, I don't think any of us have a whole lot of sympathy for the uncle, but we're clearly dealing with somebody who might even be more unhinged than his dad. And, oh, yeah, he's got nukes.
Yeah, I'm going to use an oft-cited joke on Twitter late last night. So I take it the Obamacare Thanksgiving discussion didn't go well, huh? You know, like on the one hand, it's really awful that this man has gotten executed. It's not like he was really that much of a good guy either. But, you know, a lot of people are saying that this is, you know, this seems like this bloody Shakespearean tragedy going on over there. And as you said, this is not, you know, if it was just some podunk country somewhere, we could, you know, kind of laugh it off or just kind of shrug our shoulders. But, this, you know, it suggests that we have people who are paranoid, violent, dangerous, vindictive, perhaps not mentally stable. And as you said, they have nuclear weapons, which, you know, we have pushed off the possibility of a serious confrontation on the on the Korean Peninsula for a good long while. You got to wonder how much longer we can keep our luck will hold out and we can keep whistling past the graveyard. I don't think there are a lot of great policy options to deal with this, but this is one of the reasons people don't want other regimes to get nuclear weapons, is that at some point you end up with somebody nutty enough to actually use them.
Yeah, this does not seem like a stable individual at all. So if you're Japan, if you're South Korea, you got to be worried about what you're seeing up there. Jim, on that horrible note, we'll leave it for this week. We'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. And we'll be back on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.